Okay, can we talk about how confusing weight loss has become? Like, one minute it's carbs are bad, and then the next it's, no, actually carbs are fine, but only if you walk 10,000 steps and drink a green juice, and honestly, it's just a lot. And then even if you do lose the weight, keeping it off is a whole different story. If you're struggling and want something that fits your real life, Hers can help. It's designed to support you in reaching your goals in a way that actually fits your life. That's why Weight Loss by Hers is getting so much attention right now.
Hers connects you with licensed medical providers who create doctor-developed treatment plans tailored to you.
They offer access to an affordable range of FDA-approved GLP-1 medications, including the Wegovy pill and the Wegovy pen. It helps regulate your appetite so you eat less and keep the weight off. If you're ready to reach your goals and want to try something new, visit forhers.com/Bert to get personalized, affordable care that gets you. That's forhers.com/Bert. Forhers.com/Bert. Weight Loss by Hers is not available in all 50 states. Wegovy is a registered trademark of Novo Nordisk A/S. Get started and learn more, including important safety information, Wegovy clinical study information, and restrictions. Visit forhers.com.
Hey, The Bert Show. There might be a whole bunch of single moms that don't consider you a single mom, even though you consider yourself a single mom.
Wow, that's a lot of single moms.
All right, if you are a single mom, I would like to know your definition of exactly what that is. 1-855-BERT-SHOW. And here's why I ask. So out of nowhere, my girlfriend Amanda hits me up with a text the other day, and just out of nowhere, which is not rare for her or for me, what is a single mom? And I wrote, I think I wrote something like, you're a single mom. And then she writes back, I don't know if I am. I met one and she said, you're a single mom or do you have someone? And I was like, I have a partner. But then was like, I don't know what dictates a single parent. Now, in Amanda's case, she and her ex-husband are great co-parents, but they don't live in the same house. So she's taking care of Asa 50% of the time, and Brandon is taking care of Asa 50% of the time with his ride or die as well. So what exactly is a single parent? So we start going on. She said the person that she was talking to said, I co-parent. So I was like, yeah, I guess that makes sense because, hold on a second. I'm getting all these mixed up. I have a partner, but then I was like, what dictates a single parent? So she was saying single moms get no help whatsoever. That's what would make you a single mom. So, she said, I'd never put myself in the same situation as the BBA moms who have no help at all. So yeah, I guess I'm a co-parent. And she said, each have similar struggles all their own. And I didn't really know what the definition at that point of exactly what a single mom is. A single mom just someone that's raising it? There's nobody else helping out. No other dollar. You're doing the whole thing yourself.
You're doing this solo, man. I feel like you can, and people joke, like, you know, if your significant other's going out of town and you're like, you know, I'm a single mom for the, you know, the week or the weekend or whatever. But as far as when I think single mom, I think of a mom who has her kids 24/7. So there's no co-parent, there's no child custody where you get any time off whatsoever. You have the kids 24/7 and you don't have a partner to support you. Like, hopefully you have a village that can help you, whether it's like a grandparent or friends or a babysitter. But I know with single moms and the income, that can be very, very difficult. But yeah, a single mom to me is somebody who literally does it all on their own.
All right, so let me ask you this question. Let's say I wasn't in the picture. There was no me and Amanda. It was just Amanda, her son Asa, and then when Asa takes off, he goes over to Brandon's. There's no me. She's not getting any help. Is that a single mom?
I mean, you're a co-parent. I feel like now we're getting down into the nitty gritty. But I mean, when she has him, yeah, she's by herself. But again, she gets a break 50% of the time because he's going to go to his dad's. So I'm not trying to take away from, this is where I think it's going to get complicated, because you're not taken away from the fact that when you divorce somebody and you do, like, you know, splitting custody and only seeing your kid half the time is, you know, a heartbreak in and of itself, you know, being with that child and only with you and not having your significant other there or the partner there, that is, it's all hard. I think it's all a different kind of hard. Before a single mom, nah, man, you're doing all the dirty work yourself.
So you get no help at all. Yeah. So 50% of the time, if you are getting help from your significant other, you're still not a single mom in your definition.
In my definition, yeah.
Okay. Hey, Lee, good morning. You are on the Bert Show. What is the definition of a single mom?
A definition of a true single mom is the situation that I'm in. I was married to, well, my now ex-husband. We have one daughter together. She's 12 years old. I'll be 50 this year.
Hey, congrats.
Great for me. And he had a son from a previous marriage, and his son, his mother is deceased. So when we split up, his son came with me, and I got both of the kids as a treasure, and he owes me $40,000 in child support.
Yeah.
And he has not seen his daughter since she was 7.
Okay.
She'll be 13 this year.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't think anybody's going to argue with you on this one. Yeah. That's for sure. That's a pretty good shining example of a single mom right there. Mm-hmm. So then let me ask you the same question here, Lee. Let's say in Amanda's case or other women's case also, 50% of the time you have your kid and you're taking care of them. They don't have a partner. You're responsible for your child 50% of the time. Are you considered a single mom also?
I'm responsible 100% of the time. But no, they're responsible 50% of the time. And no, they're not a single parent because my first husband and I did that. And when my daughter turned 15, I took him off of child support. He had proven that he was all in. He was a parent. And that we were parenting. We were co-parenting. There's a difference. This situation that I'm in is truly single motherhood.
Yeah.
I get $0.
Yeah, you're on the Mount Rushmore of single moms.
That's
the shining example right there. So, but where do you draw the line? So let's say the agreement is, let's say I'm just using Amanda as the example. Let's say Amanda has ASA 3 weeks out of the month and 1 week is she considered a single mom then?
I don't think you have to draw a line.
I've always thought a single mom is simply someone who is raising a child without the help of a partner, period. Like,
nothing.
Like that partner could be the person that you're with now. That partner could be the father of your child who's helping sometime. But if you have no help at all from a partner and you're raising a child, you are a single mom.
To me, that's what distinguishes a single mom versus a mom that's just co-parenting is if you are 100% responsible for this kid 100% of the time, there is nobody else that is responsible for them. To me, that is what makes a single mom a single mom and why we have so much respect for them.
Good morning, Loretta. You're on The Burt Show.
Hi. I love you guys. I'm listening from Southeast Texas.
Thank you.
But yes, I am grandma / mom. I have been raising my grandson for the past 3 years. His mom is not in the picture and hasn't been for 3 years.
So the definition for you would be, again, absolutely no help at all. You're doing it all by yourself. That is the definition of true single mom.
Exactly.
Okay. I don't mess with women from Texas, so yeah. Okay, I'll agree with you. 100%.
Yes, please.
Hey, The Burt Show.
Okay, can we talk about how confusing weight loss has become? Like, 1 minute, it's carbs are bad, and then the next, it's, no, actually, carbs are fine, but only if you walk 10,000 steps and drink a green juice, and honestly, it's just a lot. And then even if you do lose the weight, keeping it off is a whole different story. If you're struggling and want something that fits your real life, Hers can help. It's designed to support you in reaching your goals in a way that actually fits your life. That's why Weight Loss by Hers is getting so much attention right now.
Hers connects you with licensed medical providers who create doctor-developed treatment plans tailored to you.
They offer access to an affordable range of FDA-approved GLP-1 medications, including the Wegovy pill and the Wegovy pen. It helps regulate your appetite so you eat less and keep the weight off. If you're ready to reach your goals and want to try something new, visit forhers.com/Burt to get personalized, affordable care that gets you. That's forhers.com/Burt. forhers.com/Burt. Weight Loss by Hers is not available in all 50 states. Wegovy is a registered trademark of Novo Nordisk A/S. Get started and learn more, including important safety information, Wegovy clinical study information, and restrictions. Visit forhers.com.
All goes according to plan. In the next couple of weeks, we're going to have a brand new pope. And of course, per tradition, it's going to be another man. And if you're wondering why it's not another woman or not a woman, period, it's got everything to do with Roman Catholic history and some of the most scandalous women ever.
You want to hear something pretty cool?
Yes.
So I think I told you guys that my son had a trip planned to the Vatican with his senior class. I mean, this was planned a year and a half ago. turns out he might be at the Vatican when we figure out who the new Pope is.
You'll be able to actually witness history.
Yes, and in this case, it might be a woman.
Only it's not going to be a woman. It has everything to do with one of the most shameful periods in Roman Catholic history.
Hear ye, hear ye. Come forth, all Instagram baddies and crypto bros, for the most salacious gossip in the whole village. Abby's done the work to bring you ye old gossip.
So if you're wondering, why not have a woman pope? Why does it gotta be a man? Well, other than centuries of patriarchal domination, it might have something to do with the Roman Catholic Church's most scandalous period in history. So if you've ever looked at the Catholic Church and thought, you know what this needs? More drama. Well, buckle up, sinners, because I'm about to introduce to you the most shameful chapter in Catholic history that nobody talks about, and for good reason. This is the era known as the papal pornocracy, better known behind the scenes as saeculum obscurum, which is Latin for all this sex stuff in the church is kind of weird. So if you hear someone in the office say, the Catholic Church has always been led by men, please remind them that it wasn't in the 10th century. It was the time in history when the Vatican was less like holy ground and more like a scene from the Real Housewives of the Holy Roman Empire.
Just you said 10th century.
The 10th century.
So we're going back all the way to the 900s.
To the 900s, baby.
But there is precedent.
Okay. There is precedent. Okay. And it did change the course of Roman Catholic history. So allow me to introduce you to the cast of the Real Housewives of the Holy Roman Empire. First up, we have Theodora, the matriarch of all these scandalous popes from the 10th century. They say behind every great man is a woman, but I prefer mine kneeling at the altar. And then we have her daughter, Marozia. She is the ringleader running this Vatican circus. And if she was a cast member, she would probably say something like, Rome wasn't built in a day, but I can ruin your reputation in one. And then we have Marozia's illegitimate son, Pope John the 11th. He would probably say something like, they say I'm the voice of God, but I still call my mom for permission. He was pretty much controlled by his mom. And I'll tell you why. Because as you can see, this era was less like the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and more like mom, side piece, and illegitimate son. So, of course, this all went down in the 900s, of course, in Rome, in the Vatican. And it was a time when women were running the Vatican behind the scenes. And like I said, the stars of our Holy Roman crapshoot were Theodora, her daughter Marozia, and Marozia's son, Pope John the 11th. So Theodora was basically the Kris Jenner of her time, except instead of producing daughters who pawn off skinny tea on the internet, she produced popes. So her daughter Marozia is the Kim K in the situation, because since they couldn't produce sex tapes in those days, to rise to power, they had to wield Marozia's teenage sexual energy on the current sitting pope. Now, before you start picturing a Bill Belichick and his girlfriend situation, because all we know is all these popes are super old. Back in those days, popes weren't 80 years old and one flu season away from death. Mm-hmm. They were young, vibrant rulers.
Oh, yeah, it's the 900s. They didn't live to 80. Yeah, they lived to 35. Yeah.
They were like, we gotta get this on fast forward. So Marozia ends up using her energy and getting to know the Pope biblically and supposedly produced a son together. This would be Pope John the 11th, allegedly. And Marozia wasn't just happy to be the baby mama of the next pope. She wanted power. And step one of that was becoming Senatrix of Rome, which was something between being a mayor and a mafia boss, because when she wasn't happy with how Pope John the 10th was doing, she had him murdered.
Now, I have a question, if I may.
Okay.
Back then, were popes allowed to do that, or were they celibate? Were they supposed to be celibate back then as well?
Funny you should bring that up, Kristen, because this leads us into how they became celibate, period. So Pope John the 10th gets murdered, and the year 931 is when her little nepo baby rises to power and becomes Pope John 11th. Now that her spawn is on the literal papal throne and one of the most powerful men in Europe, you would think Roman Kris Jenner would be happy to reap the rewards of her hard work.
Nope. Marozia then decides she wants to become Empress of Rome. So she decides to marry King Hugh of Italy. And there's one person who's decided that they are done keeping up with the Roman Kardashians. And that's her son from a previous marriage. He shows up to her wedding with an actual army, crashes the whole thing, and throws her in jail for life. And locks the door like, you know what, Mom? I'm done with your papal pyramid scheme. Thus entered Pope John the 12th. And the spiritual leader of the Catholic Church at 18 years old. Now, John the 12th was what you would call bad at his job. And he wanted to do what most 18-year-old men wanted to do at their age and frickin' party. So you could say that this pope turned water into wine a lot.
Oh, he was the party pope.
He was the party pope. I mean, like most of them in those days. Because he turned the Vatican into Sigma Alpha debauchery. He hosted orgies, gambled away church funds, and allegedly toasted publicly to the devil. John, of course, was fired. And later he died in bed with a married woman who was possibly by her husband. Like, they found them in bed and he got, you know, killed. So look, I'm not saying all of this was bad, but you know, women in power sometimes can go to their head. But this isn't the feminism I know. This is girl bossing too close to the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. By the end of the church was like, okay, we need to, like, you know, stop all this. This is a lot. Can we go back to when popes were just boring and only fought about bread and wine and communion and whatever? So this entire era triggered several reforms that still hold true to this day, like clerical celibacy, which is why many members of the clergy can't bang, and created the College of Cardinals so people couldn't schmooze or buy their way into the papacy and keep them in check once they got there. So that's why they're celibate and they do that whole voting situation when they have to do the smoke. And if it's white, it means they found one, or yeah, that whole thing. So it's safe to say after all was said and done, hell got a little bit more crowded, but at the least we got some popes who, when elected, will actually do more than just sleep with the bishop's wife. And that's the end.
Very nice. Very well done.
So now you know how we got to the Pope's election and why they aren't allowed to, you know, get it on.
We get it.
Hey, the Bird Show.
So he cheated on you, or she cheated on you, and you felt like the only way you could get over it is if they told you every single detail, every single graphic, every single physical detail, everything that led up to it, or... you went the next step where you reached out to the mistress and met them somewhere so they could tell you everything. If that is you, that is who we are looking for here. 1-855-BIRD-SHOW. And it's based on a story Mo was telling us earlier.
I did not think this was a thing until this happened to me over the weekend. I was at a round table having a business meeting and someone offered up the information on their marriage. And she said that there was a time when she cheated on her husband in the beginning of their marriage. And though she regretted it, she did it. And she did it a couple times. And so she had to tell him. She was honest about it. And she was shocked when her husband's response was, "I want to meet him." And he met face to face with the guy. I'm not exactly sure what details he got from him, but he got enough details for him to feel like he was going to stay in the marriage. It humbled him. It made him a better man. And apparently it made a better marriage for the two of them.
I don't know how you control your emotions over something like that. Like, if you're meeting them face to face and they are telling you all these details, I'm just assuming that there is hair being pulled out at some point or another. It's going to get physical here.
It reminds me of when we used to do Mistress Mondays.
Yeah.
And the women used to reach out to us saying that they wanted, they had gotten what information they got from their partner, but they needed more and they wanted to get the other side of the story from the mistress. I just don't think I would be strong enough to do that. To me, ignorance would be bliss in that moment.
See, I could understand like wanting to get the details of leading up to it. Like, I don't trust him now, so I need to hear really what happened, but not the physical stuff. 1-855-BIRD-SHOW. Julie.
Hey.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Okay, so this happened. This was you.
Yes. So not only was it the other woman, but it was his ex. And I also had conversations with his ex-wife. But this was after finding out I was cheated on, and me and the most recent, we exchanged everything, and then we became friends and had what we called Psycho Girl Summer.
No, you didn't.
Wait, this is next level here. What does that mean?
Yeah, what is Psycho Girl Summer?
The laugh is telling me all I need to know.
Right. Right.
So it just means you go and you get and do what you want. And that you don't... We've had to deal with the psycho, so we went, you know, beyond Hot Girl Summer, you know? Just pulling in those 20-year-olds when you're in your mid-30s.
Okay, so wait a second here. So you met up with the mistress, and then you guys got along so well that you decided to get back at the dude, that you guys would just run your way through the city?
Pretty much.
Wow.
That's next level.
Good for you.
Right, that's another level.
Okay, yeah.
That's when you make, that's how you turn lemons into lemonade.
Turn lemons into 20-year-old hotties.
A woman scorned, man. All right, again, so if the only way you could get over the infidelity was meeting the mistress, or you wanted every single detail, looking back at it, are you happy you did that? 1-855-BIRCHA.
But it makes me wonder if there's a business there where there's a summer camp, for women who have been wronged or cheated on, where you can just go and just live your best life.
Yeah, it's called going to Buckhead on Saturday.
Rena, good morning. You're part of the Bird Show.
Hi, good morning. Love you guys.
Thank you.
I had to get every single last detail, every dirty detail from my ex-husband. I just needed to know why and like what drove him to do it. Like what, at the time, what was I not doing? But then I realized that it was not my problem and it was not my fault. And now we're no longer together. But yeah, I needed every single last detail.
Like even the physical details, like I think there would be something healthy about digging in on like, why did you do this? Was I responsible for it? Or not responsible? What was my part in it? But you wanted the physical details also?
Yeah, I had to know what he thought he was missing and what, you know, I don't know. I was younger and I thought at the time if I knew all the details, you know, maybe it was something that I was doing or not doing that made him look somewhere else. But no, that was a him problem and not a me problem.
So when you initially asked for the details, was it because there was a chance you would actually stay depending on what the details were, or you were leaving regardless and just wanted to know?
At the time, I thought that I would stay. I thought that if I knew the details and I knew, maybe what I wasn't doing or wasn't giving him in the relationship, that it was something that I could change and do differently for him. But as time went on, I don't regret getting all the details, but I just couldn't, it wasn't my fault. You know what I mean? Like it was a him problem and it was something that he was missing and trauma from his past that he had to deal with himself, and it just didn't work out. But I thought that I would stay, and if I knew all the details, then that would help me get over it.
Thank you for calling. Okay, this is the one that I've really been looking for, is the person that said, yeah, we met up. Like, we hooked up at a restaurant, and she gave me all the details face-to-face, the table. I would immediately tell the server, don't give us alcohol. No matter what you do, do not give us any alcohol.
Oh, no, I'm like, bring the bottle.
No alcohol, no silverware.
All right, Britt. So,
oh, God. You can do a lot with a plate smash.
Yes, you can.
Britt, good morning. Okay, you're this person. You met up with them.
Oh, hey, how are you?
Good, thank you.
Hey, so, yeah, I was in college, and me and the girl now are actually best friends. I was dating a guy and I didn't know about her that they were together, and they've been together for a long time. And then she actually contacted me and we met up at a bar in the college town, and we talked for like 4 to 5 hours and became like really close. So then we set up a plan where we met up, and I had called him saying, hey, yeah, meet me at this bar. And then when he walked in, we were both sitting there.
Shut oh my God.
Did he throw up immediately?
He turned like ghost white and turned and walked out the door, and I hadn't heard from him since.
He ran? He actually fled?
He ran.
Yeah.
He fled.
Yeah. For sure. Yeah. He's still running.
Man is never going to stop running.
So I'm curious.
Yeah, me and her are now best friends, and we've been best friends ever since. I mean, we were pregnant together. Yeah. We go and visit each other all the time. It's great.
So I'm curious about the conversation, though, because you said it was 5 hours long. Were you asking, like, all the details leading up to it, all the details of where they met, what he was doing, what she was? 5 hours is a long time.
Yes, it was a while. And also drinks were involved, of course. But we were, I was asking, I said, oh my gosh, how long have y'all been together? I had no idea about you. And then she was telling me how long they've been together, like since high school. They were on a break or something. But yeah, I got all the details from her. She's like, yeah, he's been texting me. We exchanged text messages. It was like this, like copy paste. And it was crazy. But she's at a different, like a community college there. I was at Georgia Southern, and we would never cross paths. And so it was until then.
Yeah, this dude was the inspiration for Forrest Gump running across the country to Seattle.
I just love that they became besties.
That's the part that messes wild. Me up the most. Like, I wonder if men could do that. I don't, that's not a thing for us.
Never.
There's no way.
The Burt Show.
Okay, can we talk about how confusing weight loss has become? Like, one minute, it's carbs are bad, and then the next, it's, no, actually, carbs are fine, but only if you walk 10,000 steps and drink a green juice, and honestly, it's just a lot. And then even if you do lose the weight, keeping it off is a whole different story. If you're struggling and want something that fits your real life, Hers can help. It's designed to support you in reaching your goals in a way that actually fits your life. That's why Weight Loss by Hers is getting so much attention right now.
Hers connects you with licensed medical providers who create doctor-developed treatment plans tailored to you.
They offer access to an affordable range of FDA-approved GLP-1 medications, including the Wegovy pill and the Wegovy pen. It helps regulate your appetite so you eat less and keep the weight off. If you're ready to reach your goals and want to try something new, visit forhers.com/Burt to get personalized, affordable care that gets you. That's forhers.com/Burt. Forhers.com/Burt. Weight Loss by Hers is not available in all 50 states. Wegovy is a registered trademark of Novo Nordisk A/S. Get started and learn more, including important safety information, Wegovy clinical study information, and restrictions. Visit forhers.com.
Why have I asked my electrician I found on Angie.com to bury my pet hamster Nibbles in our yard for me? Because I was so moved by how carefully he buried my electrical wires, I knew I could trust him to bury my sweet Nibbles after his untimely end. Nibbles. Gone too soon. May he scurry in peace.
Hey, sorry about your pet, but I just wire stuff.
Nibbles would have loved you like a brother.
Connecting homeowners with skilled pros for over 30 years. Angie, the one you trust to find the ones you trust. Find pros for all your home projects at Angie.com.
Time to get buzzed on the hot goss from Hollywood with Abby. It's the Burt Show's entertainment buzz.
She is finally speaking out. Katy Perry has had one of probably the worst couple of weeks in the press, whether it was her going to space for the last 11 minutes on the Blue Origin flight or her new tour that she just embarked on. And let me tell you, the press is not liking her new Lifetimes tour. People are saying she looks unrehearsed. People are saying this looks like a fever dream. It's not getting good reviews.
It's terrible. I've seen some clips of it from people that were there. And it looks like a high school presentation in some cases.
Is it terrible? Or because we're just seeing snippets of the concert. I mean, this is like a multi-hour long. And I am seriously not trying to defend Katy Perry here because she's dug herself into quite a deep hole these days with her, you know, press conferences before and after her space flight
and the way that she handled the whole flight.
Yeah. It's one thing to have gone. It's another thing to anyway, different story. And I'm watching these clips and some of the dance moves are interesting, not good.
Yeah.
But again, we're literally drawing a conclusion based on just a couple of seconds. We're seeing a video and I would hate for somebody. I just think like, I know people will listen to a snippet of our show and make like a snap judgment, but they didn't listen to the entire break or they didn't listen to the entire show. You know what I mean?
Yeah. That makes sense. But you're also seeing a lot of backlash from a lot of people who went to the show and are expressing their own opinions on it. So it'd be like if our entire Facebook group of P1s were like, yeah, actually the Wednesday show was crap.
And it's a pile on at this point also.
It is.
People are looking for a reason to rip on her.
Maybe she's tired. She has to readjust the gravity. You know, she went to
she's got to get her earth legs back.
Yeah, she's got jet legs.
Really, she's doing good for an astronaut who's trying to be a pop star. So we really should be giving her some more grace here.
Just her side hustle, man.
But she came out on social media and she wanted to express her feelings after getting so much backlash for all of this stuff. And she said, When the online world tries to make me a human pinata, I take it with grace and send them love because I know so many people are hurting in so many ways, and the internet is very much a dumping ground for the unhinged and unhealed. Please know I'm okay. I have done a lot of work around knowing who I am, what is real, and what is important to me. My therapist said something years ago that's been a game changer. No one can make you believe something about yourself that you don't already believe about yourself. So, and if I do ever have feelings about it, then that's an opportunity to investigate the feeling that's underneath it. Basically saying, like, if I call someone or if someone is calling Katy Perry untalented and she takes that offensively, does she truly believe that she's untalented? So then you have to investigate that in therapy and really get to the root of it, you know? Mm-hmm. So I think it sounds like she's in a healthy place. Good for her. It looks like she is having fun on the tour, despite the fact that it's not getting good reviews. And, you know, hopefully...
I have a feeling that when she gets to that dressing room, really, it's nothing but tears.
I wouldn't blame her. But you know who is having a great tour is Beyonce. Just kicked off this week. And yes. I know there's been a lot of headlines about it's not selling out. There's still tickets available. But when I saw videos of the opening night, that place looked jam-packed.
And I'm not surprised that some of these places aren't selling out. Now, it has nothing to do with Beyonce. I just think that people are watching their finances right now. Mm-hmm. And we've reached sort of a saturation point on how much we're going to pay for tickets. And we're also looking at the economy and some of the predictions that might happen over the next couple of months. And that's disposable income.
Yeah, and these tour tickets are really expensive, but I mean, it definitely looks like it's worth the money. All of the videos I've seen of Beyonce's tour have been really, really well done, and a lot of people are sharing these beautiful clips of when Blue Ivy and her daughter Rumi get to come out on stage for a song, I believe it's called Protector, and it's just this really sweet moment. I mean, that literally looks like a family portrait on stage, and Beyonce's got her arms wrapped around Rumi, and then Blue Ivy's behind her, and she's got this gorgeous sparkly dress on with like a tartan draping around her waist. And on a side note, Blue Ivy has really turned into such a beautiful young woman. She looks like Beyonce's carbon copy. Some of her dance moves have really improved as well. So it's cool to see Blue Ivy blossom and grow and maybe become the next Beyonce.
The good news is on this whole thing is that I have started to see some ticket prices for Beyonce anywhere between $50 and $75, which was unheard of a couple of years ago.
Oh, really?
Uh-huh.
That's good.
Well, that's a good thing for all of us. So we can actually see it when she comes to wherever your city is. All right, for more stories, head to the Burt Show podcast on your favorite listening platform.
The Burt Show.
If you hang out for just a couple of seconds here after we get Jackson on with Rank Tank, I don't even know what that is. We are going to tell you how we can get you into Disney World, you and your entire family, for $100. That is unheard of. I'm also going to tell you how we can send you to the Dominican Republic for $100. On a $10,000 trip to the Dominican Republic that would also include playing on one of the best golf courses in the world. Ooh. And also $100 to send you anywhere in the world. Give us just a couple of minutes and I'll give you all the details. All right, what is Rank Tank?
All right, this is a shot in the dark idea here. All right, so Stank Tank is currently on a bit of a hiatus. Mikey and I are taking a little bit of a break from the old Stank Tank. And so I was like,
too exhausting, huh?
Yeah, it was a lot. So let's try something else. And I just stuck with the theme of Shark Tank and Stank Tank. And I've come up with this thing called Rank Tank, okay? So here's how this is going to work.
You're just going to do all the things that rhyme with tank?
Yeah.
Okay.
We'll get to something else later.
I want Bank Tank, and that's when you just give me
I want Frank Tank, and I just want a bunch of hot dogs.
Okay.
Yeah. Thank you.
All right, good
Spank
ideas.
Tank, make it freaky.
Now we're on to something, though. Thank you.
Bert wants Wank Tank.
Oh, my God. That's going to be paired with Spank Tank.
Let's just keep Dank Tank out of the studio.
So basically, I'm going to come to you guys with a list of things that I found online, and you guys are all going to rank them in the order that you see fit. So some of them are going to be like least expensive to most expensive, least comfortable to most comfortable, that kind of thing. So this week, I'm bringing a list of minor inconveniences that affect your day-to-day life, okay? And I was trying to think of a way to make this a little bit more engaging and fun, so once you guys rank them, I'm actually going to spend the next week making all of these minor inconveniences happen to myself, and I will be recording and documenting them and posting them online.
Okay.
And then I can reassess on how you guys ranked them versus how I actually experienced them.
Okay, these are common occurrences, every day, just a hassle.
Exactly.
Just irritating.
And we're going to rank them from least inconvenient to worst inconvenient.
Exactly.
All right.
So the first one is having to get up to pee right before you're about to fall asleep.
Yeah, that's up to
the absolute worst. So I'm going to be chugging a bunch of water before bed and inducing this upon myself.
Okay.
The next one, when people are walking in front of you really slowly, but then take up the entire sidewalk so you can't pass.
I am not filled with hate, but these people. These people.
I'm a New Yorker. I hate that.
Yeah, I know. The absolute worst. And so I will be purposely setting myself up behind slow walkers. I myself am a very fast walker. So this one is majorly, majorly inconvenient for me. Next one, stubbing your toe. Nah, nothing bad.
It depends on what, man.
Yeah, the edge of the bed.
Yeah, I was like, I expected a bigger reaction than that.
Or on nothing around a pool.
Oh.
You ever stub your toe?
Were you like trip on accident?
Yeah. Like you trip on like the I don't even know what it is. And then you look down and you got a toe that's bleeding.
Yeah. You got that toe drag.
Yeah.
I've done that.
I don't, not stubbing the toe, and this might just happen to me. I always catch my pinky toe, and so does my husband, on doors, and it cracks.
Oh.
I think it breaks, but I always never stub the big toe. It's always the pinky.
And you know when you stub your toe so bad, you have to take a knee and you're like, for a little while?
No, because I'm not weak.
Okay. Here we go. And next one. When autocorrect doesn't autocorrect something for you.
Nobody is writing ducking awesome. Nobody.
I know. I've actually changed the shortcut in my phone to automatically change that from ducking to the F word on that one. So I'll be turning autocorrect off, and I'm really, really not looking forward to that one. We've got two more. Waking up 30 minutes before your alarm is supposed to go off.
Ah!
Oh, my God.
That sucks.
It's every day.
So bad.
It's every day.
It's just enough time for you to not be able to comfortably fall back asleep. And, you know, it's definitely one of the worst.
Did I tell you guys Friday night I'm going in for a sleep study?
No.
Yeah, I'll tell you more about it. But that reminded, I forgot about it until you just brought this up.
It's a sick Friday night.
And what's that?
It's a sick Friday night.
Yeah, right?
You live a very lit life.
Last but not least, stepping into something wet after putting on fresh socks. So I don't really know. All of these seem terrible to me.
Yep.
So I'm really not looking forward to the next week ahead of me, but it'll be entertaining for everybody who's watching. How would you guys rank these moments?
All right. So for myself, and again, I'm going from least inconvenient to most inconvenient. Least, stubbing your toe, pee before falling asleep, autocorrect, stepping into wetness, and then the most inconvenient for me, or second most, waking up 30 minutes before alarm, and then the one that irks me to no end and sends me into a rage, people who are walking slow and I can't pass.
Oh my God.
That's the number one for me.
Right. Totally get it.
Mo, what do you got?
Least to not as bad, I would go autocorrect first. Bothers me, but not that much. Stepping into something wet after socks, I get it, but I'll just change. Walking in front slowly after that, because I'm going to find a way around them. Don't trust me. Stubbing your toe, I hate doing that. And then both of these are kind of up there for me. I'll go pee before bed, and then waking up early, the worst.
Okay, for me, from least to worst, stubbing your toe, it just doesn't happen to me enough for it to be like a true, true inconvenience. Stepping into something wet when you just put on fresh socks. I literally just did this yesterday right before I went to go work out. It was the worst. Peeing right before you want to go to bed, because it's like, it doesn't happen enough again for me to, but when it does, it's like a big inconvenience. And then waking up 30 minutes before your alarm. I do it every day, so I'm kind of used to it. It's a terrible inconvenience, but it happens so often that it's not an inconvenience at this point. Autocorrect, because it makes no sense. Why are you changing these words that are perfectly spelled to a word I didn't need? And slow walkers! Oh, my God, no!
That's a common theme here.
I'll save us some time here and just go to the one that I hate the most, and that's the autocorrect thing over and over and over again. It's so freaking annoying,
it's
man.
Because you're such a horrible speller.
So terrible. Autocorrect is like, this isn't even a language, man. Not even close.
Hey, The Bird Show.